Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
Welcome into a fresh episode of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell, joined by Mike Piff, and live in studio, Deuce Raymond, director of culinary, it says, culinary director of Sweet Baby Ray Catering, Deuce's Wild Barbecue. We'll get into that. It is so great to have you in studio, Deuce.
Yeah, thanks for having me down. It's been a while since I've been down to the studio. I've been on a couple with Dane and...
Yeah, oh, Dane and Hannah, Flavor HD maybe?
Yeah, a couple times. So
a couple times ago.
It's now I'm back at home.
Well, it's great to have you here. We'll get into the legacy, your family history, the sauce, your new ventures, all of that stuff. To be honest, I stumbled across Deuce Raymond from social media, which it seems like your followers continue to grow and grow.
Absolutely.
We were talking a little bit before this. I've gotten really into barbecue over the past year, and you are a must-follow for anybody that's already really into it or just kind of beginning with barbecue. You have great tips, great videos.
I'm pretty sure Kevin asked me to come on for barbecue advice. I'm pretty sure.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, like I will say Kevin got me into following you, too.
Yeah, I'm like, you got to follow this guy. I mean, it'll make you hungry. So, no, I did. It's kind of barbecue season, right, here in Chicago. Yeah. I mean, for you, it's always barbecue season. But this is when we're kind of cleaning up our patios, dusting off the grills. And I'm like, let's get Deuce Raymond in to talk some barbecue. But let's talk about your family history. Deuce Raymond.
Yep.
Ray's, Sweet Baby Ray's.
That's correct, yeah.
Tell everyone the background.
So the background story is my dad created the recipe for Sweet Baby Ray's, and it was actually my uncle who spurred the conversation, and my uncle wanted to enter the Mike Ryko Rib Fest. Back in the early 80s, it was huge. Over 700 contestants, and he asked my dad, who's a chef by training, to come up with a recipe for that. So they developed the sauce specifically for the name Sweet Baby Ray, a nickname my uncle earned on the west side of Chicago. So as the story goes, they called my dad Ray growing up, and they called his little brother Baby Ray. And when he would hit that baseline jumper, they would say, "That's Sweet Baby Ray." So that's a true story, and that's how they came up with the name for it. But long story short, they ended up winning second place out of 700 contestants. My uncle quit his job, started selling to grocery stores and butcher shops, and the rest, they say, is history. You know, they grew the brand into a $30 million brand, ended up selling, and when they sold, they retained the rights to use the name for restaurants and catering, and that's been my gig for the last 20-plus years.
Which the restaurant is still going out in Wooddale and Irving Park, Sweet Baby Ray Catering. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, our catering company is kind of the largest portion of our business right now. We cater everything from backyard picnics to weddings to corporate events, and weddings have really become a big part of our company. And we actually have a higher end brand called True Cuisine, and you know, last year we did 320 weddings.
Wow.
And it's, you know, it's a great thing to be able to give someone a special experience like that on their most important day. So, you know, something that I really enjoy is the catering business. Restaurants are great too. But what's special about catering is you're not always in the same place, and you're cooking different food for different people in different locations. And it kind of gets my ADD brain going. Yeah. Because
get out and about. When people are ordering the catering, especially for something like a wedding, are you guys catering to the menu they want, or like what do people normally want for those big get-togethers?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because everybody kind of has their own idea, but we'll do a lot of traditional, you know, American cuisine where it's the beef and chicken and a few different sides, and we do plated or family style or buffet, nice. Whatever you'd like. So, but what's cool with the two brands is if you're really into barbecue, which has been, thank God, really popular for weddings the last few years, you can get all barbecue or you can get more of the traditional route with True Cuisine. And we'd like to do, you know, we'll put our own spin on things. We'll have, you know, international flavors, you know, if you want something more Asian inspired or Indian inspired. We do a lot of things. We have, you know, I went to culinary school for 4 years. We have a general manager who also went to Kendall College where I went, our executive chef. So we have a lot of foodies in our in our space. So the menus we've developed are really a template, you know, but if you have specific needs, you really can go anywhere with it.
What do you make of barbecue being catered for weddings and the popularity there? Why have you seen? Why do you think there's been an increase?
I think people just think about it as they want something different. Yeah. You know, they don't want the same chicken and green beans and salad they had at the last wedding. So it's really been good for us, and it's something. What I get real excited about is when they do a carving station. Brisket at a carving station at a wedding is so cool to me.
Oh, and that's a huge hit for me if I go to a wedding. I see that. That's incredible.
Well, it's like the Texas experience. When you go to a barbecue place in Texas, you see the brisket there. They slice it right in front of you and everything. And so it's a winner for sure. But I think barbecue, it's like, you know, it's not so hoity-toity. It's very approachable, and people see it as something different, you know, than what they got at everybody else's
and it's
wedding.
Delicious. Everybody loves
and
barbecue.
It's delicious.
You have some, let's call it breaking news, dudes, for us. The Sweet Baby Ray's restaurant, still operational. Go check them out at Wooddale. Sweet Baby Ray's catering. What's next for Deuce Raymond?
So we're really excited. So, you know, along the way, we've been open for over 20 years with the restaurant and then the catering business under the Sweet Baby Ray's name. But along that way, I started the brand called Deuces Wild. And originally, it was the name of our competition team. And so I started doing some sauces and rubs. And we sell that online. You can find it on Amazon. And you can find it on our own website and a couple stores locally to us. But right now, we're in the process of building our first ever Deuces Wild restaurant. Awesome. And we actually bought the property right next to our existing restaurant. And so when Sweet Baby Ray's, when Deuces Wild opens, Sweet Baby Ray's will close. So this is the last year the original only Sweet Baby Ray's restaurant is going to be open for one more year. And then the Deuces Wild restaurant is going to be like the next step of our family legacy.
Nice. Yeah, so we're really excited. Get over to Sweet Baby Ray's if you want to hit the restaurant.
Absolutely. Hopefully we start construction in July. You know, that's all kind of up to the city and all the, you know, all the process you have to go through with that stuff. But we're really excited about the restaurant. We're working with the Aria Group, which is a top design company in Chicago. They do all the Cooper's Hawks and Shake Shacks and Top Golfs, and they're just really dialed in. The place is going to look amazing and feel amazing. And, you know, people always say you have to, like, you know, there's a million different barbecue restaurants. What makes Deuces Wild different? And for me, it's the whole package. Obviously, the food's going to be amazing. We're going to tie into some of the things we do on social media. So we'll have monthly specials with, you saw a Barbecue Like a Boss video with a Moroccan lamb shoulder. And that's going to be actually on the menu. Nice. And then we'll switch that up. So that's one thing. But I think the thing I'm most excited about is actually the look and feel of the restaurant. It's not going to be some mom and pop shop. It's going to look finished. It's going to feel really cool when you're inside. It's going to be all, you know, decked out in our black and gold, our team colors, if you will. And it's going to be a really fun. And it's going to have a drive-through. So I'm excited about that, too.
You mentioned the social media experience. If you follow any of your pages on there, there's a lot going on. How do you like being one, a content creator, and how do you manage all the content?
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of really cool stuff you're doing, and I'm just kind of getting used, like, you know, kind of immersing myself in what you're putting out there, which is you're educating, you have announcements going out there, you're engaging people with what you're doing. What is that like for you day to day?
It definitely keeps me busy, and it's a big part of what I do. We started really kind of diving into social media and content creation in 2021 after the pandemic, like a lot of people did. And we brought on, I kind of, you know, went all in. I hired a full-time content creator, and Matt and I have worked together for the last 5 years now, and he's a big part of this success, too. Matt has done an amazing job kind of staying on point, and it's, if you talk to any content creator or social media people, they'll say consistency is the main thing. Yeah. And we've been super consistent and adding stuff along the way. But like, so the way I describe it is like Deuce Raymond is kind of like the focal point, and that's Deuce Raymond on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. And then mostly you'll see barbecue educational content, but you can also find, you know, we have podcasts that we run, so we'll have clips of that. We'll talk about what's going on with the catering company, anything, you know, we'll do fun little clips about my thoughts on barbecue. And then we have Sweet Baby Ray's Catering, which, you know, talks about more Chicago-based catering that we do. And then True Cuisine, like I said, is our higher-end brand. We talk about wedding trends and colors and what people are looking for there. And that's more geared towards the bride and the wedding experience. And then Deuces Wild is, you know, focused a lot on the sauces and rubs, but soon to be the restaurant as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you're never not busy. Deuce, you got a lot going on.
Yes. He mentioned his ADD brain, so I'm like, it makes sense this way.
Deuce, you can follow him on at D-U-C-E, Deuce Raymond, and Deuce's Wild Barbecue as well. Check him out. I follow on Instagram. You're on everything, though.
Yeah.
Every platform.
Instagram kind of has everything. YouTube, we do some long form, but mostly it's short form. And yeah, we're looking to help people, you know, with their barbecue education, and then also in form of what we have going on.
And it also just makes you so hungry. I'm like, I need to go there. I need to try to do some barbecue. Let's talk some barbecue, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would love to just pick your brain on all of it.
Absolutely.
Where should we start? Favorite kind of smoker?
So if I'm smoking at my house, we kind of talked about this off air. I actually do like the pellet smoker for a number of reasons. One, you can do other things while you're cooking there. It's easy, and it does produce a good product. If you're looking for the best barbecue you can ever do, it comes, in my opinion, off an offset smoker. So that
those are those big ones you need a big truck to pull around.
The firebox is on the side, and you're feeding the fire every 45 minutes. You're really paying attention to the airflow and the temperature of the smoker.
And what is it about it that you think produces the best barbecue?
You know, one thing that's not tangible is the experience. You're doing all the work. It's hands-on, and you're there for 12 hours if you're cooking a brisket. So you're invested in that piece of meat.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell everybody how long it took you and how hard it was and all that stuff.
Right.
So you're going to pretty much tell that story of why it's so good. And I think that's a big part of it. But there's something about just cooking over open fire and having the time that it takes for that natural flavor of the wood to infuse into the meat. There's something about it. But overall, it's the experience.
I mean, you're eating great barbecue all the time, but what do you think might be a mistake early people who are early to the barbecue game make, or mistakes they might make, or anything like that? Or maybe some people are a little, they don't want to get into it because it is a lot. I mean, the charcoal, the wood, the timing, you got to really be on top of it.
I think the number one thing is patience. Barbecue takes time, and whether you're cooking a slab of ribs for 2 to 4 hours or a brisket for 10 to 12 hours, it really does take time. And then with the big cuts, the pork, the briskets, things like that, it's the rest time. So barbecue gets better at you rest. So just for broad terms, you're looking for an internal temperature of like 200 degrees on a pork shoulder or a brisket. Once you hit that, you want to wrap it up, put it somewhere warm. You could put it in your oven on the lowest setting. You could put it in a cooler, you know, with the lid closed. But you have to let it rest for at least 2 hours. That thing's been cooking for 12. It needs 2 hours just to chill out, and that really kind of releases everything, makes it even more juicy and succulent.
I've done quite a bit of it. I've done like poor man burnt ends. Those are chuck roast burnt ends. I love pork shoulders, things like that. The brisket I've yet to dive into because I'm like, all right, this is going to take time.
Yep,
it's expensive.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to screw it up. Give me some tips on the brisket.
So the brisket, first of all, you want to start with a quality cut of meat. And to the expensive point, it is expensive. I mean, now you're talking about $5, $6, $7 a pound. If you want to go even higher, like to a prime or a Wagyu or something like that, then you're even talking more than that. But if you start with a quality cut of meat, and this goes for anything with food, if you start with quality, then your job is not to mess it up. You know? So, but start with quality. Find a seasoning that you like. You know, you could use a salt and pepper, like they do it down in Texas, or you can pick your barbecue rub. I do not put sugar on my brisket. Like a lot of barbecue, like a traditional barbecue rub will have sugar in it. We have a Texas barbecue rub that is salt, pepper based, but there's some paprika and herbs and some garlic notes in it. And then for brisket, I like heavy black pepper. So I'll rub it with whatever I'm going to rub it with, and then I'll put another layer of black pepper on it. And then low and slow, you know, 250 to 275 max temperature. And depending on how big your brisket is, it's going to take roughly 10 hours.
10 hours, and then that rest time.
And then the rest time. So you got to plan in the rest time when you're trying to serve your dinner. So, you know, you got to plan for if you're going to cook for 10-ish hours, you want to rest for at least two, then you're, you know, 12 hours before you want to eat.
Right.
You know, and maybe first time, buffer in another hour. Because resting it more only makes it better.
Yeah.
And that's why when I was talking about the brisket carving station is so awesome for catering. It's because the day before, the guys will put the brisket in the smoker at like 6 o'clock at night. Then it smokes till 6 in the morning. They take it out and it's resting almost 12 hours.
Wow.
And it is just
I'm always
money.
So curious how that works because barbecue, it's all about timing and temperature. I'm sure you've mastered it at this point, but how do you the math that you got to kind of factor in and kind of hope that everything stays warm and stays ready to go when you are ready to serve?
In food service, we have, you know, expensive holding units that's what they're designed to do. So that really helps. But it is part of the process where you want to put it in at a certain time the day before so it comes out and then you have that whole period and then you're ready to serve. But that's why always at a barbecue place, my opinion, how our barbecue restaurant works anyways, if you go at nighttime, your barbecue might be better the first thing, like if you get there right first when they open.
Yeah.
So
good tip there.
Yeah. It is a tip for barbecue.
I have to ask, as a very amateur, novice barbecuer, that's quote unquote, and you're going to be like this guy over here. So I have a gas grill at home.
Okay.
I do love brisket. I love steak. And I'm actually very interested because it's kind of made its way to the Midwest here is tri-tip too.
Oh, yeah.
Any tips that you have for someone like me who is just like, I have my gas grill, but I want to do a good job.
So I think for sure steaks, pork chops, chicken, tri-tip, you can all do.
Okay.
If you want the brisket experience, then you have to come see me at the restaurant.
That's
buy a smoker, Mike.
Or buy a smoker.
Or buy a smoker. That's true.
I have tried to do brisket in the oven, and it just doesn't. It just doesn't come out the same. There's something about the moisture level in the smoker, and that's one thing that people don't understand too. Is I am a proponent of having some sort of other moisture in the smoker. You'll see videos where they'll put the trimmings in the smoker too to kind of get some moisture in there. If you're just doing like something small in there, then it's good to kind of get some moisture in it. If your smoker's loaded, all the moisture from that meat coming off kind of helps with that. But it is kind of like a dual cooking method where you have the dry heat from the wood or the charcoal, and then you have the moisture component too in barbecue. And that's something that's really hard to duplicate in the gas grill, you know?
When I got into barbecue, Mike, Deuce and I were talking about this, I just have the Weber kettle, which is people maybe don't think initially like that's a smoker, but you can. I do the snake method, which is charcoal around the perimeter, and you put some lump chunks of wood and it picks it up off of that, which I have found it to be very easy to smoke that way, Deuce, because as long as you're kind of just monitoring that temperature, that charcoal just eases its way around your Weber.
Good videos on YouTube about that too.
Yeah, people want to check it out. The snake method. Yep. It's been easy for me to kind of get into
that's
the bigger
awesome.
Cuts. So, but get a Weber kettle, Mike.
I was going to say, I'm marking this part right here. I'm going to make sure my wife listens, and then we'll go from there.
Which I've seen your video on ribs, which I love how you do ribs on your Weber
kettle. Oh, yeah.
Because, I haven't – sometimes I watch these rib videos. I'm like, they're ribs. And they seem to be so – there's so much that goes into it. And I watched your video, which is very much like – put some charcoal on this side, some charcoal on this side, put the ribs in the middle, rotate it, hard sear them, sauce them. I'm like, those are good ribs.
That's the original Sweet Baby Ray rib recipe. That's how my dad and uncle got second place in the Mike Reichel rib contest. And that has a special place in my heart for sure. It's something that when I'm making that recipe, brings me back to my childhood. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. The smell, the whole experience of doing it is just awesome. And it is pretty simple. Yeah, you know, again, it goes back to you have to start with good ribs. If you get little thin ribs are going to be little thin and dried out ribs by then. You know, because it is a little bit quicker of a process than a lot of people do. But it's
because,
really
that, I mean, that is the thing. People are folding them into the butcher paper. Yeah. And there's timings, the 3-2-1 methods, which is all great. And but seeing that video, I'm like, that's how I want to do the ribs, just like that.
But back to the grill tips. So you asked me about the grill tips. So a few things to think about when you're grilling, whether it's on a gas grill or a Weber kettle. You want the grate to be hot and clean. So so that's the number one thing when you're doing any like hot and fast grilling, is that grate needs to be clean. So you got to grill brush it, get a little oil on it. You can put a little oil on a paper towel or a rag or something and brush it with oil before you put your meat on there. And it has to be hot. So you can use your hand as a method. If you can hold your hand more than 3 seconds over the grate, you know, about 2 inches above, and you hold your hand there, if you're more than 3 seconds or so, it's probably not hot enough.
Not hot enough. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh. Favorite meat to cook with, to barbecue with?
Favorite meat?
Yeah. I'll go cut a meat.
Yeah, that's tough.
There's a lot of different
barbecue-wise, it's hard to get past brisket. Brisket is awesome to do, but I'm kind of like where my roots come from is that rib recipe, and I've cooked so many slabs of ribs and won so many awards for ribs that, you know, ribs is kind of like my go-to fallback if I wouldn't say brisket. But then, like, grilling-wise, we just went through this on our show, too. There's so many good steaks and everything to choose from, but I think New York strip is like a winner for me.
Yes! Two hands up. I am a New York strip guy. Kevin shames me sometimes for that.
But. I love a New York strip. But like ribeye is usually like the king of the beef.
You're right about that.
But a strip's kind of that middle, like between the ribeye and filet.
Yeah.
As long as it's well marbled. Because if you don't
it's a very good point.
You've got to really get a well marbled strip.
You do, and you can't overcook it either, but it's like eating wise, it's like the whole thing you can eat. Where ribeye, there's some parts that you gotta kind of eat around.
Right.
But
are you when you do a grill a steak? Some people are like, you got let the beef taste like beef. Do it on the gas, or do you like doing it on charcoal?
I like doing it on charcoal. Yeah, I think that, you know, charcoal, I don't think it gives it over. When you cook low and slow, you get more of that charcoal flavor, like the snake method or like the rib method we were talking about. But when you're just grilling on it, I think it just gives it a nice flavor. I don't think it like overwhelms it or anything.
Favorite wood to smoke with?
I use hickory the most. Another one that I really like is post oak. Post oak is what they use down in Central Texas, and that's kind of one of the areas I fell in love with. It's a more mild flavor. You know, but it's just a smooth, kind of good barbecue flavor. Hickory is what kind of what's local around here that it's easy to get your hands on, and it's got enough smoke so you know it's there, but it's not overpowering. Yeah.
From a creative standpoint, is there anything kind of new you're toying around with right now? It may not be ready yet, but something you're like, I'm getting some life from playing with this right now.
So I always challenge myself to, a lot of the videos we do is like, I love taking some of the traditional way barbecue is prepared, the smoking or grilling or everything, and then pairing it with international flavor profiles. So, like, you'll see a lot of our videos are traditional barbecue, but then mixed in where we'll do something where it's, you know, from Central America or India or Korean barbecue. So, pairing the cooking method with different international flavors is kind of something that I always challenge myself, and I'm excited about that for sure. And you'll see that on the menu in the new restaurant. We were talking about that off air too, is kind of how we're going to play with the menu. You're going to have all your favorites there, and the menu is going to really represent, you know, traditional American barbecue, but then also some of the features will be some of those international flavor profiles.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a thing that would bring people back to try the new things. Or some people who are the hardcore, you know, meat and barbecue fans.
Crumble Cookie kind of had its day, but they really figured it out. Where it's like, we're going to get these people back every week because we're going to drop something that they can't say no to.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, too. Barbecue sides, you immediately think like the beans and cornbread. Mm-hmm. Do you have some favorites that, or maybe something a little different outside of what we The coleslaws, the beans, the cornbread, things like that.
Yeah, so we have green chili mac and cheese that's phenomenal. Nice. And we have that at the restaurant now. And I don't know if it's going to be on the menu all the time, but people just, when they have it, they love it. So we'll take poblano peppers, we'll char them, we'll peel the skins, and then we'll puree them, saute onions, garlic, and bell peppers. Add the poblano pepper puree, a little bit of cream, and pepper jack cheese. And it's just like, you get the same experience as mac and cheese, but there's like more depth of flavor and a little bit of heat there.
Nice.
And it's green, so people are like, wow.
Getting your greens.
Yeah.
Anything else, Deuce? What are we missing in the barbecue world? What do you make of the whole barbecue scene in Chicago? I think we have... Do people... view Chicago as this barbecue spot? I think it is a great barbecue town.
It for sure is a great barbecue town. And what people don't realize about Chicago and Illinois in general is how much barbecue history there is here. Famous Dave Anderson, he started in Chicago. Sweet Baby Ray's was started in Chicago. There are the whole west and south side of Chicago have their own style of barbecue.
Right,
on
like
those
Lem's is really Lem's. Starting to get some recognition. Yeah. That's the south side, those aquarium smokers.
The aquarium smokers. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of like, when we opened Sweet Baby Ray's in 2005, it was just like, after that, every year something else opened. And there's been so many smoke barbecue and, you know, the Green Street Market. There's Lily's Q's. There's so much good barbecue here in Chicago. It's really cool.
I love Green Street, by the way.
Yeah, they do.
Same here.
No, they do a phenomenal job.
Cool vibe in there. You get some, it's a cool spot.
Yeah, and Lily's is great, too. Charlie McKenna, he's, you know, classically trained chef. And
that sauce has got to be one of the most, everywhere you go, you see the Lily's Q barbecue sauce, it seems.
No, he's done a great job with that. He's a friend of ours, and he's cooking down in Memphis in May coming up next week, so we wish him luck.
So are you still doing a lot of competition?
I do not do a lot of competition anymore. Like you guys said, I have so much going on. Plus, I have a wife and three daughters.
You have a life.
So that's kind of why I stopped barbecue or competition barbecue, is because it just got to be too much with the kids were real young, and it was competition barbecue is awesome, and it's really cool for me because I'm competitive by nature, and the camaraderie with the guys, it's like going out and drinking beer and staying up all night and doing something you love. Like, what's wrong with that?
But
it just came to be. So the time commitment and the money commitment is a lot with competition barbecue.
Do the kids like something in particular you make, or what do you like making with your family?
They get excited about they're pretty excited about food in general, I'll say. For a while, it was tough for me because they wouldn't want to go outside of just like plain stuff. But now they're getting more into, I made like a jerk chicken with a ginger garlic rice at home. And they were like, this is awesome. We got to have this more. I'm like, yes, finally. They like something different, you know. So that was really cool.
My daughter, she wants a cheeseburger. Hold the cheese. She's three years old. A hot dog. Ketchup only on that for her. But
they'll come around. It takes a little time for sure. But yeah, the kids are awesome. They're definitely into kind of everything we're doing with the business. We started filming some of the videos at home, so then they were like, okay, when are you going to be there? I'm going to bring my friends, and they want to be in the videos now.
Nice.
Too, so it's
you're
pretty cool.
You're insta famous now, dude.
Exactly,
everybody's watching your videos.
Well this I'm
a huge fan, again, just following you on social and the brand and all of that. But Deuce Raymond, at Deuce Raymond, at Deuce's Wild Barbecue. Again, that brand's growing and growing. Check out their sauces and rubs, and a new restaurant on the way as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That's Deuce Raymond, and we really appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. For Mike Piff, I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. This was the latest episode of Chicago's Very Own Eats.